then we'd go clear down to Mission Valley, because we could just go across the park and go on down the canyon. There were cattle down there, and the river, which flowed in the and our, we were all together, and our parents didn't worry. They didn't need to. And so life was quite tranquil. Hardly any of the mothers drove cars. And most were one-car families. And I went to a private school, private girls' Catholic school. And there were two girls in high school that had cars. There were only two cars parked out in front of the high school. And and then again at State, very few girls had cars. We, as I say, we carpooled it, but it was usually a fella that owned the car. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes the girls would be driving their parents' car. Mm-hmm. And pick up other students. But parking was a problem then, because
it was
a terrible problem, because you parked out in a dirt lot and it was so muddy, and when it rained,
right.
And it was ruddy, and when it didn't, so it was a mess. That was, if you read the old Aztecs, that was a complaint continually, the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's where the kids usually went to eat their lunch too, out to the cars. And so
that's funny.
That was,
well, at least your school wasn't perfect then.
No,
we had that problem too.
We complained. We complained lots of things. We complained how far it was to the gym. And there was a big canyon, and there are pictures of us. And so you'd leave the classrooms, which were by the quad, the old quad. The classrooms were all around there, and the front building, which is now an administration building, those were classrooms. Well, then you had to walk quite a long ways and down this canyon and up over to the girls' gym, and that was always a complaint.
The girls' gym is I know where that's at, but it doesn't seem that far.
I know. Now I go over there, and I can't believe. Well, they filled in the canyon.
Oh, so.
So you're on a. You go straight over
there.
So
the girls' gym now was the gym.
Yes.
It wasn't just the girls' gym.
Yeah, right.
So the gym that we have up there wasn't there.
No, Peterson gym wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now that's a long walk.
Yes. Yeah.
No. So what are you complaining about?
Right. When I look at it now, I think, well, why did we make such a fuss? But I guess it was because we had to go down this canyon and out.
Yeah. So, when you were a little kid, speaking of 5-cent Cokes and stuff, you didn't have to lock up your bikes or anything like that?
No.
There's no crime?
No. In fact, we didn't even lock the house.
Oh, my God.
I think sometimes, like, we were going to be gone all day, we would, but you didn't. Now someone tried to break into my house a few months ago, and someone, while my husband was still alive, did come in one night while we were asleep and left. It took some things and left, but a while back someone tried to break in. And so now I have a security system,
mm-hmm.
But I even locked the back door.
All my doors.
I keep them locked.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, I live alone, and that's the only way I feel safe.
Yeah.
The only way I feel safe, so.
Well, now I even have a security system. I didn't, I'm gone so much. It was while I was away.
Mm-hmm.
there's a downstairs, and they tried to break in downstairs. They broke the window, but after my husband died, one of my friends came over, and he put these bolts in all the windows. Mm-hmm. So they broke the, got the screen off, broke the window, got the little thing up top undone, but they couldn't get the window lifted. And apparently by that time they got scared or gave up or something and left. But, so now I've got, which I sometimes come in and forget I've got, and forget to turn it off, and the neighbor next door just has a fit. It just scares the life out of her when it goes off. Mm-hmm. But I'm learning now. She's got crossed a couple of times. That scared me more than anything. So now I remember when I come in to run into my bedroom and turn the alarm off.
Okay, back to school. What was it like being female back then? Was there just as many girls as was guys?
Yes.
It didn't make a difference?
No. And it then state really was what people referred to as a teacher's college, in fact. Even then, the chemistry department and the physics department were very good. So there were a lot of fellows in the physics and chemistry and geology. Mm-hmm. And PE was very popular, and the fellows planned to be coaches. Mm-hmm. And I think we had a, you know, pretty good balance as far as men and women went. And no, the teachers didn't show any preference for the.
What if
the men.
You were an education major? What say if you were a science major?
It didn't make any difference. I mean, you know, for instance, I had to take biology, so there were a lot of science majors in there, but it really, I can't say there was any feeling against women. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, a few fellows were pre-med, which also meant that they did most of their, you know, the same as the PE majors, really. And I can't remember any women being pre-med. But I do recall there were a couple of girls that hoped to be, that were PE majors. Mm-hmm. And they didn't feel, they felt accepted. Mm-hmm. I never saw any difference.
How about, can you tell me more about your sorority?
Well, the sororities were like clubs. Mm-hmm. And I belonged to one that was called Shenyo. At the old normal school, there were rowing clubs. And when they came to the State College campus, they became sororities and no longer rowing clubs at all. But we tried to copy the national sororities. We were called Shenyo, but we did have Greek letters. We never called ourselves by the Greek name, but the other sororities did. Mm-hmm. Phi Sigma Nu and Theta Chi and Gamma Phi Zeta and Tau Zeta Rho. We, as far as friendships, we mingled. I have as many friends now that were in totally different sororities than I was, but we did so much together, and I don't know if they still do this or not, but we had a formal dance at Christmas. Each sorority had a formal dance. And each girl received so many bids. And so then you trade these bids with other sororities. So then you'd go to your own dance and then you go to two or three other dances that sponsored by other sororities. And we had inter-sorority council, and there never seemed to be, well, there was a rivalry when it came to getting pledges, I will say that. Especially if two or three sororities wanted the same girl. We didn't call it Spring Sing, but it was something like that, and each sorority put on a skit. And of course a prize was given for the best one, and there was rivalry there, but it was always on a friendly basis. Then of course the sororities backed their candidates for offices as far as AWS and student body offices, and I think most of the people that held offices belonged to sororities or fraternities.
And you did?
Yeah, in my day. And I think because that was a backing for you, and they were the ones that had you, you know, work to have you nominated and then voted for you, but there were people that did belong to sororities and fraternities that were elected officers too, and oftentimes they were backed by sororities or fraternities.
Okay, so tell me about your involvement in the student government.
I always, my sorority encouraged me to take part in the school activities. And so I was a sophomore and I ran for AWS secretary, and I got it. So I was secretary to AWS. And then, I held several other positions, social chairman, I guess that was a joint committee because there were both men and women on it. But we organized dances, and we had what was called a stag and doe dance.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that we would give over in the gym, and it, you just came over and everybody, you know, traded dances. You didn't have a date for it. Then when I was a senior, I was vice president of the student body. And that was, and of course the, we always had a faculty sponsor for our sorority, and any student body committees that we were on, there was always a faculty member present at our meetings. There was lots to participate in, certainly fine. There were lots of clubs, the language clubs, and chemistry club, the physics club, and international relations club, I remember, music clubs, and lots of things to participate in.
What is the most important thing that's happened to you in your life after San Diego State?
My marriage, because I did have married a wonderful man, had an extremely happy marriage, and my children, who have been a great joy to me.
Three children.
And I always, I taught school, and I always liked teaching school very much, and I taught for 10 years, and felt that because of my education at State, I did succeed in my in the teaching profession.
That's good. This is kind of a double question. What was your proudest accomplishment during your years at San Diego State, and then your proudest accomplishment after your years?
Hard one. Well, my proudest accomplishment was my graduation. Mm-hmm. And
but then you got a master's at Stanford. And that made you even prouder.
Well, yes, I was proud of it. It was so different. When I got to Stanford, I just, I was amazed at how much more sophisticated all the students were, and so many had traveled abroad. Mm-hmm. And so many, were more roundly educated. They had read more. Mm-hmm. They were acquainted with opera and symphony, and we didn't even have that to go to in San Diego. And we didn't have an opera company. We didn't have a symphony orchestra. We had good theater here that came in, but we were still at the end of the road and didn't have it like San Francisco. So I really was overwhelmed with the backgrounds of so many of the people I met at Stanford. They traveled abroad. They, you know, just led a different life. And of course, at that time, Stanford only accepted so many women. They had a limit on the number of women. It was like a fourth women and three-fourths men at Stanford or something like that.
So that was a big change.
Well, but see, as a graduate student, I didn't, that didn't involve me. But I was amazed. I knew it before I went there, but I was amazed. Mm-hmm. But in the graduate program, that wasn't so.
Were you still single at the time that you were getting your master's?
Yes.
So what did you do for fun there?
Well, studied. I was going with the fella that I married. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't interested in dating. But I did go to the dances, you know, for fun. And they had, the reason we did the Stag and Doe dance at State, we got the idea. Our dean of women told us about it because she'd been doing graduate work at Stanford. And she thought it was such a good idea. And they had those dances up there. And there were several of my friends that were working on their master's too, and we'd all gone to State together. Mm-hmm. And so we'd go to those. And I'd go out. The fun thing was to go to San Francisco and go to the theater. And but there again, fellas didn't have that much money even then, so you didn't, you know, do expensive things very often. But the work was a lot harder, a lot more demanding, and on the whole, the professors, I think, were better educated, many of them, and again, had a backgrounds that were different. They too had traveled. Mm-hmm. And but at Stanford, like at State, you got to know, in those days, and that isn't true anymore, but you got to know your professors, and they had a, I don't think it was a rule, but they all did it. You were invited to their home once a year and for tea. They'd have, you'd either go in the evening and have dessert, or you'd go in the afternoon and have tea. And you went to the president's home. Of course, he had an official residence on the campus. You went to his home once a year. So, but at State, you didn't go to the homes, but you really knew all the faculty. I mean, they called you by your first name. They knew who you were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that isn't true anymore. It's awfully hard to, I know, get into one of their offices even. But I didn't answer the last half of that one, did I?
Your post accomplishment after.
I was recognized as an outstanding teacher, and I became a demonstration teacher. Actually, my proudest accomplishment was that was more in that my husband was so successful and always said that I was such a big help to him, and that in the fact that all my children have accomplished their goals in life and are happy. I'd say really that, and the fact that I did succeed in my profession. I'm not the kind of person that, you know, wants to be mayor of the city or something like that. I like to succeed in what I do, but I don't have. I've never been one to want to set the world on fire or anything.
So your husband was a president of San Diego City College?
Yes.
So you've been involved with education your whole entire life?
Yeah.
Beginning until now. You're still involved.
I really am, in that, well, up until my husband died about 14 years ago. Even up until 15, 20 years ago, I substituted at a Catholic school here in the area, at Sacred Heart. And, you know, I still kept my hand in teaching and enjoyed it. And I'm still involved at State in this group called the Friends of Classics. I don't want to keep you.
Well, that's okay.
Dr. Gail Burnett was head of the classics department at San Diego State, and she lives three doors up, and she's lived there for about 30 years. So when she moved here, I became acquainted with her. And but she came to State after I graduated, so I never knew her as a student. Well, she's a fabulous teacher. She was elected Outstanding Teacher in the state of California one year, and all that. Well, when she decided to retire, there were two young women who had not finished college, but their family was at a point, they'd quit and gotten married, and their family was at a point where they wanted to go back and graduate. They were friends. So they just fell into taking a class from Gail. And they thought she was fabulous. And then they said, oh, we'll take every class she ever offers, and we're going to be the best, marvelous, best informed students in the world. And she announced she was retiring. So they said to her, well, could you teach a class? Because we want to take all these classes that she taught, Greek tragedy and classical literature, and the Bible is literature, and comparative religions, and all these things. And she said, well, I just love to teach. And the reason she had decided to retire was that there was so much paperwork involved, and they wanted her to be writing articles for magazines, and what she really liked to do was just teach mm-hmm. and work with the students. And in fact, there were some students that wanted to take Latin, and they didn't offer Latin at State, and she just had them come to her office and taught them Latin. She was just dedicated. Plus, just a marvelous, marvelous teacher. You just sit there the whole time like this. So she said, well, all right, I'll get some classes in my home, but I'm going to charge you the same as you would to go to a class at State, and you have to have a paper, and you have to give reports and all this and that. So they got enough women. She said, I don't want to have more than 20 in the class because you'll be meeting in my house. So she said to me, would you like to come to the class? And I went, no, I don't want to have to write papers and all that. But I didn't know how to refuse, so I joined. Well, I've been in her class for the last 18 years. But anyhow, when she retired, she said she didn't want any gifts. But if people would like to contribute to a foundation, and she was giving a lot of money to this foundation, the Gil Burnett Foundation, that would be fine. So then every time she collected our money, it went right out to State. She never used any of it for this foundation. And she established it to bring in an outstanding teacher, I mean an outstanding person in the field of classics, and give a lecture once a year. And so he'd be paid a fee and his transportation and everything. And as a result, they've had people come from Greece and England and France and Yale and Harvard and Princeton. Every year there's a marvelous speaker. Well, she felt it would be for the benefit, especially of the faculty, but she wanted it to be open to students. So this has happened every year since she retired. Anyhow, the president of the college heard what this group was doing, and he invited us out to lunch one day. And so we went, and the head of the classics department talked to us and told us what a wonderful thing it was and how what a benefit for the faculty and the students, because all the kids that were taking classics went to the lecture. And he said, my dream someday is to have a wonderful seminar room and have it set up with nice furniture and bookshelves and all this and that. And the next time, this one lady in the class said, you know, I think we ought to do that for the college. So just like that, we got working and we started raising money and we furnished this room. Carpeted it with lovely carpeting and bought a real fine conference table and chairs and had an artist design and make a beautiful cabinet where we could display artifacts and things mm-hmm. and arrange for, got a screen and you know, loudspeaker, everything, a microphone. And so the students now in the classes, they use it for seminars. Mm-hmm. And then they can get the key and go in there and use the books and study. And then they have a lecture in there every Friday, first Friday of every month, or one Friday in the month. And then we provide refreshments at that time. And now we've established 3 scholarships so that anyone graduating in that department, they're small, but last year we awarded 3. That was the first time we usually, before we'd only end up money for one, can go on for graduate work, and it'll at least buy their books. I think it's $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it's about
So, yeah, and we're working to get you know, a big scholarship so that someone can go over to Greece and study at the American school for a year or something. So I've been real involved with that. And taking this class keeps me on my toes, reading all the literature, giving the report.
So you do write the papers, huh? Yeah, we do.
and the women in the class are so interesting. Several have their doctorates. And one's an engineer, and she heard about the class. She said, you know, all her life she wanted to study the classics, but she was busy taking math, and she's an electrical engineer, brilliant woman. And another has her degree in history, doctor. She has her doctorate degree in history, law history. And another one is a biologist who had always wanted to study the classical literature. And one's a musician.